That's right. I'm living in Paradise City. This is the one-man band. This is Howling with the Wolf. This is Dropping Off Rent with the Wolf, and whatever else you want to call it. This episode, I'm going to do a review and a chat at you about the Royal Rumble. First WWE event I have watched in quite a few number of years. And I'm going to talk about why I got the music bug again. It seems to be every January leading into February, I get the music bug. Let's start off with that one. You know, so it used to be, and even before Time Hop and Facebook memories would remind me, I would go back at my notes that I would always date when I was trying to, do my own comic books, thought I was going to start my own comic book company until I realized there was no money in it and I didn't have the funding or a support team, and there's just no way one person can do all that, especially back in the day when Photoshop and Procreate and all that didn't exist, and there was no way I'd be able to scan, print, do line art, color underneath the lines, and all that kind of shit. It was a mess. Anyway, that it seemed to me like every March was my height of creativity for the year. It would start to get warmer, and this is up in Washington, mind you. Birds are out singing, suns are out, rain's a little less. And I would always have dreams of the beach and surf and come up with the surf riding X-Men story that I had for a while. Now it seems that every January I get the music bug, and I don't know why, but I start buying new gear. I start thinking about music, wanting to practice. I'm usually too busy with work and projects and things like that, so I just, it's just one of those new resolution type things that just doesn't happen for me, and then I forget about it, and by April or May, it wears off. And I always buy something expensive or something stupid to kind of kickstart that. So last January, I played a gig with the band I'm no longer friends with that passed me up for someone else for the fifth too many time. But I did buy that, a $1,200 5150 Eddie Van Halen tube amp, which is something I always wanted, and I found it for a great deal at like $695, something like that. Still got it, played it for about, honestly, three times did I plug it in before I moved it into storage into my other bedroom, and it's sat there for well over a year now. I played it when I first got it, and then I let it sit for 2 months until April when I bought my new guitar, that Hubba Bubba yellow with the hot pink pickups, which I've played that guitar actually quite a bit. However, when I was studying and practicing what I wanted to do with that guitar, it was a slimmer neck, it was a Floyd Rose, it was supposed to play faster and be my holy grail again that would make up for that black and white BC Rich guitar that I used to have, the Tiger Stripe one, which I've never seen again, and I think it was a custom job because I've looked it up, nobody can find it, nobody's ever heard of it, and it's all but lost to eternity somewhere. But I've only learned and played the same four or five riffs. The solo from Angry Again, the solo from Here I Go Again. I wasn't trying to pick every song they had again in the title. A sort of melodic minor scale that I figured out, you could do in repeating patterns all over the neck. And then the beginning to Play With Me from Extreme, because I heard it on Stranger Things. And I played those same couple of riffs over and over and over again for the entire year. So much so that I could pick up a guitar and just jam those things out super fucking fast. And it's like nothing. And I remember when I first did it, I was like, holy shit, this stuff is hard. I'm never going to remember it. But I'm not a not a scales and a notes kind of guy. I don't look at the guitar and go, well, obviously this is the next note because I'm in this mode and this scale. I remember patterns and numbers and fret numbers. So I could be playing 10 different songs in E and not realize it's E and just go, okay, I have to play this and memorize it that way. This is how I am. So that's a long-winded recap of why I'm always inspired in January. Well, I want to say back in October, I found out Steel Panther was coming out with a new album. And that's due out February 24th. And then I found out they were going to kickstart their world tour here in Vegas. And they haven't played here in Vegas since, I think, like the second year of the pandemic when they finally let masks up for my birthday. I got to go, and then like 7 days later they made us all go back to restrictions and put our masks back on and couldn't go to a venue without your COVID vaccine passport, which is, God, if we didn't just get out of fucking Nazi Gestapo, I don't know what that era was. Can't even talk about it. I get so angry at how stupid that shit is. And I'm still trying to find out where all these unvaccinated people that are dying are, because I don't see any. The only ones I see dying are the ones that got vaccinated. So, yeah, there's my opinion on that one. Anyway, I was super excited about this show. And I told work, which has become work now, and they rely on me far too much, that regardless, I'm going to take that day off and I'm going to party my ass off. They're like, well, make sure to put a request in for your time. I was like, no, you misunderstand. This is not a request. It's Steel Goddamn Panther. I am taking the fucking day off, or you can find another do-it-all, because I literally do it all. Well, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm going to stop you right there. If you remember, just like every other job I get, I ain't trying to be an arrogant son of a bitch, but I literally told everyone in every job I've ever had, I only want to work 1 or 2 days because I have other shit and creative outlets that I have to do, and there will be times when I have to take time off. This be one of them, and I'm going to do it. And I prove my worth, and I make it so that, you know, they realize they can't live without me, but then they freak out, and they don't know what to do without me. That's not my problem. I shouldn't have to suffer for their piss poor planning. So I'm going to the show. So I've been in a real Steel Panther mood lately. Listening to it when I can. It comes on a few times at work. I'm getting people excited about it. I've also had a few odd occurrences. I walked by Eric Singer, the drummer from Kiss. He was at the bar the other night. Favorite drummer ever, as far as like live performance, and just a really, really solid drummer. Kiss Alive 3 was so great because he kept time during the endings. He never missed a beat. He's always on tempo. He's just one of the most solid drummers ever. I mean, Vinnie Paul is one of my favorites, and Ted Kirkpatrick from Tourniquet, nobody probably even knows who that is. Mike Portnoy, obviously. And then Tim Alexander, probably and the Rev from Avenged Sevenfold. Those are probably my top drummers. But they're all flashy, and they all do cool tricks. Eric Singer will do cool tricks and stick flip while keeping the most basic beat and then keeping you interested in that most basic beat. And then he'll still throw a flare on top of it. You can't beat him. The guy's amazing. Anyway, I usually wear a cutoff shirt when I'm doing security and wear beanies. And, you know, I got the long beard and stuff, and I walked past him. I might have said this in another podcast, but bears repeating. I walked past him, he's like, holy shit, I thought you were Zach Wilde for a minute. And I'm just like, it blew me up to where, you know, people used to tell me, even though I don't have the hair for it, that my face looked like Dimebag or Vinnie Paul. And that meant a lot to me because I love emulating my heroes. I performed a couple of times as Dimebag. Never performed as Zach, which oddly enough, I have all of his guitars and all of his equipment and have been the biggest Zach fan forever, and that's probably the one I emulate the most, but never performed as Zach. But when Eric Singer says, you remind him of Zach, it starts to get that bug in your head. Well, we did an all-star jam the other day where we had Steven Piercy from Rat and a bunch of other cool people in the building. And it just, I mean, even Jesse James Dupree from Jackal. Like, that guy's running Full Throttle Saloon. He's a badass. It just, yeah, very cool guy. Anywho, I'm in the back taking garbage out, and Steven Piercy chain smokes like a motherfucker. And he's back there, and I'm joking with him, and, you know, he's like, oh, that guy sings pretty good. And I was like, yeah, I heard there's another vocalist that'll blow him out the water, though, you know, trying to give him a compliment. But Rat actually was one of my favorite bands. The guitar work, the guitar solos, and the vocals, it was just iconic. Absolutely loved it. So I'm chatting it up with him, but the first time I walked by him, I had my beanie on, and he's like, oh, hey, oh, damn, sorry, man, thought you were Zach for a minute. And I'm like, holy shit, man, this is the second time now a rock star. And now I'm not just talking like some bitch at the bar flirting. I'm talking two legitimate, verified rock stars have thought that I was Zach Wilde. I'm like, you know what, that's it. So I start putting feelers out. I start putting the bug out like, hey, if two people have now told me I look like Zach Wilde, I may need to become one of those stupid-ass Vegas musicians that puts on a goddamn wig and performs in their middle age. Who knows? It could happen. And so I've got a few people interested, and I started putting out little bulletins and thoughts like, you know, what's your favorite Zach Wilde song that he's been a part of? People are like, oh, well, he was featured in Porn Star Dancing and a couple of songs from Dope and Soil. He's doing Pantera now. There's always Steel Dragon, not Steel Panther. Just a lot of different outlets, plus his solo albums, his Farm Fiddlin', Black Label Society and Ozzy, obviously that's a given. And people are like, yeah, I like this song, I like that song. And I started thinking, man, I really need to build up my rig again, because the last time I played that amp, all I had bought was the MXR Overdrive. And if you open it up, there's a secret switch that'll flip it to the Zach Wilde Overdrive that they discontinued. So I still needed a delay because I'm still in Steel Panther and Van Halen mode, and I want to get that kind of shredding 80s style back. It's not that I don't want to play Zach Wilde style anymore, but I've done it so often that I want to do something different and actually learn scales and be better. So I was like, fuck it, I'll look up delay pedals. And I'm looking up on Guitar Center, and the pedal that I wanted was $149, the carbon copy delay from MXR, because I like everything to match. I'm like, it's an awful lot for a fucking delay pedal. I had the DD20 before, which has like five different delays, and you can get like Rockabilly Slapback and all this bullshit. Never used it. Well, then I started looking up signature pedals, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to spend that much money. So I started watching Steel Panther videos again, and they've got the new album coming out, and one of the songs is 1987. And when you click on that video on YouTube, a sponsored ad pops up, and it shows the new Steel Panther pedal. Now, I've missed out on those pedals because they're way too expensive for what they are. I just don't like paying that much money for equipment and gear when I can rock it on a Hello Kitty guitar through a First Act amp at Walmart. But I kind of wanted something signature. Well, the Pussy Melter sold out, and now it goes for like $700 on eBay. The Butthole Burner is still available, but it's just a distortion. And the Boomerang, the Poontang Boomerang delay is just a delay. But that's, again, that's $150. So it shows this ad for this new pedal called 1987. And so I click on it, and it's a review. And it shows what it does. It's the Pussy Melter distortion and the Boomerang Poontang. God, I can't get that right. The Poontang Boomerang delay in one pedal for $199. That's $50 more than I would have spent on that other one. Actually, the upgrade to the MXR carbon copy, the deluxe version, is $199. I'm like, oh, you know what? It's a little too much right now, but you know what? I really do want it. I don't know. Let me go through it. I thought about it for like a couple hours. So then I watch all the reviews. I watch the bad reviews, the good reviews. I watch people play it next to the Pussy Melter and to everything else. It's the exact same sound. Sounds exactly like Satchel. And then I watch Satchel play it, and believe it or not, he actually sounds like the record off of a clean tone amp just with that pedal. I'm like, fuck, I gotta get it. All right, it's $199. What's it gonna be with tax and shipping? It's probably gonna be like $250. That's a little too much. I'm like, if I have enough money in my wallet right now, left over from tips, because I just spent $250 on groceries, then I'll get it. I go in my wallet. I have $230. I'm like, fuck. No, it's rent, you know, the end of the month. I got to pay all my bills. I check my bank account. Same thing, $230. That's the extra I have over all my bills that are being paid, you know, beyond the savings and shit like that. Like, I don't want to do it. I just really shouldn't. And as I'm about to leave the website on steelpantherrocks.com, I see this little thing that says, save 10% when you sign up for the newsletter and get our bundle package. Okay, what's the bundle package? So I click on that, and it says, select two items and you'll get 10% off of everything. Well, the 1987 pedal is what they're pushing, so that was on there. And then, obviously, the new album was on there, which I hadn't bought yet. I was going to buy it digital, but I thought, you know what? Let's get the CD, because I got the Tascam CD slowdowner. Why don't I do that, and I'll learn some of the songs when it comes out on the 24th of February, cheap plug. And then the 10% kicked in, and it went down to, like, for both of them, like, $196. I'm like, holy shit, this is happening. It's happening. Nobody panic. And then I tried to check out, and it was like 15 shipping because they want to do the protected shipping and then all this kind of bullshit. Long story short, it came out to exactly like $236, which is exactly what the fuck I had in my wallet, because I only spend my tip money as fun money these days. Everything else goes towards bills. I'm like, fuck it, I'm getting it. And so I got it. I don't know when it's going to ship, because the album doesn't ship till the 24th, which is the day of the concert that I'm going to. Hopefully the pedal ships out sooner. But yeah, so I'm excited. I got the Steel Panther 1987 pedal. And if it sits there for 3 years, it's only going to appreciate in value, because every other pedal they've had is selling for like $500-$700 right now. So I'll definitely make my money back, because they only do a limited run on these things. But I'm pretty stoked. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to get me inspired. And my neighbors are just going to have to suck it up and listen to me playing really goddamn loud. Even though it does have an attenuator on the amp, meaning you can heat up the tubes and get it to where, you know, certain amps only play a certain volume. And then you can't get that crunch until you play it louder. So you really have to be in a practice room playing on this thing at like 5, which is ear-bleedingly loud, especially in a house. So it's got an attenuator that'll allow you to turn it down and then still be able to play it with hot tubes. So I'm excited to get it. I think it'll be awesome. That was the other weird thing. I had actually sold enough figures that day as well. So not only did I have 230 extra in my bank account, 236 exactly in my pocket, I also sold $240 worth of figures that day. So it was just like, there was too many coincidences. It was like, that was my sign to do it. And I've got people interested in starting a Black Label tribute band. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll get me inspired. I've spent a year schmoozing and getting to know people at Vamped and, musicians that aren't working and rock stars and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a good thing, and I really want to do something good, something that I'm going to be proud of, and a project that is going to push me to play better and do better, and we'll see how that works out. So that's where we're at with music right now. I need to work on dexterity and actually sit down in woodshed. I've never been a person to practice or to work on scales, but I actually want to do that. I want to learn warm-ups. I've met John Five. I've seen him warm up and do sound check, and I've got to just buckle down and learn some warm-ups and do that. Plus, I really want to get back into some of the dime licks that I used to know. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And hopefully it doesn't sit there for, well over a year. And I'm trying really hard not to go to Guitar Center because I know I do have that extra other 200-some bucks that I don't need to spend. Because last time, when I bought the amp, I had spent too much more and more than I'd wanted to just to get the amp. Then I went to go buy the pedal because it was on sale and bought the pedal. And then I saw the yellow guitar, $700 later. I'm like, fuck it. Here it is. Just bought a new goddamn guitar with a new goddamn guitar pedal and a new fucking guitar amp. So, my goal was to learn the entire Come Out and Play, or Come Play With Me, whatever that song is from Extreme. You know, it starts off with, it was in Bill and Ted during the mall scene. Starts off with that little, like, Mozart concerto. I learned that. And that's as far as I got. I need to learn the whole song and the whole solo. But it's like, for someone to say they're sitting down and learning the Nuno Bettencourt song, is people laugh at you for that. But my first song solo that I learned was Crazy Train and Cowboys from Hell. So I guess it's not that far off. Why the fuck are people going 35 miles per hour on a 45 mile an hour road when everybody fucking knows in Vegas that everybody goes 10 to 15 over it? Holy fucking shit. God damn. How fucking hard was that? It's noon. Whoa. Good to see Tourette's is still intact. Now I gotta find out, you know, what to call the Black Label Tribute Band, because I don't know if I want to be serious about it or not, because I, you know, I'm obviously heavier and a little bigger than Zach. So, you know, my buddy says every time I say this, he's like, yeah, you know, I jokingly call myself Snack Wild, and because I was saying, yeah, I'm going to call it Fat Label Society, and I'm going to be Fat Wild. But I almost wonder if I should do it somewhat serious like, and then try and get booked like these other wig wearing bullshitters do around town, you know, where they have like five different cover bands play on Fremont, have all played with some form of Slaughter and Rat in Vegas, and then they have that one tribute band where they make like $1,500 for one fucking show. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll hit up my old drummer that I played in that awful country band with. And then I've got a guy that's wants to play rhythm, looks the part, really good dude. I just need a good bass player. And actually, it's funny because the guy that wants to play with me is more of a utility guy. Doesn't do any lead or anything. He writes songs, and maybe he could play bass. Well, funny story about him is we were bullshitting one night after hours when I was cleaning up the bar, and he helps us out. He was talking about how he doesn't talk to his sister anymore and that she was in pro wrestling. And I'm like, well, there's only been two people in pro wrestling that I've ever like fallen in love with and thought they were the absolute best in the world. And that was China, obviously. You know, Lita, close second. Trish Stratus, not bad. But I said my absolute favorite was Ariel, that vampire. And he just looks at me like, you're fucking with me, right? And I was like, no, she's hot. He's like, dude, that's my sister. And I'm like, holy shit, hook me up. And he's like, well, we don't really talk. Don't really like her, but yeah. So, Shelly Martinez, that's his sister. Holy shit. Small fucking world, I swear to God. So I'm going to try not to grit my teeth and bitch dropping off my $1,550 for rent, which apparently is cheap. I'm going to come back at you after I drop that off because I have some girl stories, believe it or not. And then we'll talk about Royal Rumble on the way home. Oh boy, there might be some attitudes today. Across the street in Chinatown, where I drop off rent. It's not a racist joke, it's serious. But anyway, it's not like I said I dropped it off in the Jewish community. Anyway, went to Target afterwards. And I like to walk around at my own pace. Mind my own business, look for clearance. Shit like that. This Asian dude was walking around, not even on his phone, just lackadaisical, kicking his feet up. Obviously mad at the world. I don't know if it's a height issue or not. Anyway, there's a girl coming at me with a cart. He's walking too slow, but he's on the right side, and there's plenty of room for my fat ass to get in between both of them. He starts shuffling towards the middle of the aisle where I'm walking, and this is the big aisle. I'm not like saying down one of the aisles, like we're talking the walkway between clothing and baby shit wipes. And then he's like gets in front of me, so I didn't even shoulder check him or nothing, but I do this thing where I let people know I'm there. I either rattle my wallet chain or I'll snap my fingers just to let him know there's someone there in case they didn't. He full on saw me and still didn't give a fuck. So I squeezed behind him and gave him a look. And I turned around, and as soon as I looked away, he goes, pff, lets out one of those, like, pff, you know, like elongated Fs, like fucking white people kind of thing. So I turned around and looked at him, and he looked away. And as soon as I looked away again, he did it again. I'm like, motherfucker, I will beat your ass in fucking Target right now for pff, behind me. So I went down an aisle to see if he'd follow, because I used to have a problem with undercover security. They used to follow me around for no goddamn reason. Went around the corner, and he had kind of stopped. Thought I was going to go, you know, try and sneak up behind him, and I didn't. I went an aisle in front, and then went behind him. So he lost me, came up behind him, passed him again, and I did the to him. He gave me a look and tried to, like, you know, he jutted his shoulders and his pecs forward, like, you know, one of those macho, what, you want to fucking go kind of things. So I just did it again. I was like, and walked off. Motherfucker, the only thing you ever gonna hear from me in Target, if you do that to me, is the sound of wet fucking celery when I snap your goddamn nose. Fucking A, people. Chill with the attitudes. You never know who somebody is. You never know what you're going to get into, so you might as well mind your own fucking business. And I know everybody's at wit's end. I know we've just come out of a hell of a few couple of years, and that we're still in a recession and shit's way too expensive. Let me segue and get off of that before I get too angry. Speaking of shit too expensive, I think it's the dumbest damn thing in the world that I went to the store to buy groceries. And I figured, you know what, I'm not usually an egg buyer anyway, but let me go laugh at these prices. And a dozen eggs were like $6.97 or something at Walmart. But if you go two corrals down, the 36 count one was only $9.99. And I'm like, wait, so you get three times as many for a less than third of the cost? That doesn't seem right. And then I look next to that, and the big ass box of 60 is $20. So you're telling me for $20, if I bought 2 12 individual packs, I could get 24, maybe 36 of them if I bought them individually. Or if I bought 2 36 packs at actual $10, I would have 64. So you're saying for $20, I could actually get that many eggs without y'all ripping me off? What, do they just not want you to get, like, the small pack? They want to force feed you more eggs during an egg shortage? It's just the dumbest shit I've ever heard. It's just, it's too much. While everyone was loading up on toilet paper and, you know, emergency and gloves and IPA sanitizer and alcohol. I was the smart one buying peanut butter and tuna and ramen and things that would last a while in case it actually was a fucking apocalypse. And that lasted about a week before I realized, oh, this is just dumb and this is just a power play. And I still believe that's what it is. They're still trying. I mean, fuck it. Let's, while we're in a bad mood and talking political shit anyway, we might as well get into it. Isn't it fucking weird that Pelosi's husband's body cam footage gets released where he opens the door to cops with a drink in his hand, handcuffed to a fat ass dude with a hammer, smiling while in his underwear, acting like there isn't a problem, and then gets pegged in the head? Isn't it weird that that's finally released and confirms all of our suspicions that we've all had since the beginning of that scandal? And then immediately, the week before, what is it? Black Awareness Month? Black History Month? Black something month? A black dude gets mauled to death and killed by the cops. I mean, they just try and start Black Lives riots every single fucking January and February. I swear to God. And my point with that whole thing is every time a politician gets in trouble or you have questions about what your government is doing, it seems like there's always something that miraculously pops up to distract you. So, weird. Now we don't need to care about that Pelosi video because now somebody died again. I mean, as far as I know, people die every day. Not brutally beaten and not by cops, but you know, I wish people would see the tropes and the things that they're using, because this isn't the George Floyd, because it wasn't a white cop. Had it been a white cop, the whole city would have burned. And then it's five black cops. I guess that's okay. That sucks. Nobody should have to die. Nobody should be beaten to death. But accidents happen. I remember one of our bouncers up in Reno DDT'd a guy in the club. And I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but the guy hit so hard he got a concussion, broke part of his neck, became paralyzed, and the bouncer went to jail for it. Even though the guy was like starting a fight and it was his fault, but I guess excessive force, you know. Sucks. You just can't do anything these days. You're going to get fucked either way. But it is what it is. Another little minor irritation. I went, I'm going to take a sidestep because there's too much fucking traffic. Another minor irritation. I went in the record store, and they're always the very most unique people out there, and that's the nicest way I can say that. Very eclectic crowd. And big sign on the door says, yellow stickers, 30% off. Okay. Half of the stickers in the store are 30% off. And I was actually thankfully being stingy. I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to grab a whole bunch of shit that I'm not going to be able to use. But I did find two things, and I went up to the counter and I said, was it the yellow stickers? I said, oh, yes, but not these yellow stickers. And they act like you're dumb. Well, the sign says yellow stickers are 30%. Yeah, but these are our regular stickers. I mean, come on. The whole store can't be 30% off. And I'm like, oh, okay, fruitcake. Here's the thing. You're the one that had the sign up. I said, can you show me what one of your wonderful sale stickers look like? We don't actually have any. And I said, well, then why is the sign up? I know it's a bit confusing, isn't it? And they get that condescending tone like it's your fault. If I owned a store, I'm going to put a random sign in the store that says something like, red heart stickers are 50% off. And then I'm not going to put a single one out. And then I'm going to wait until somebody finds a book or a CD that has a little red heart logo on it, and then act like they're dumb when they come up with the sticker. And like, oh, you know what? That's not the one we were talking about. Oh, My bad. I thought these were fucking people. All right, quick little thing on women. I was celibate for a while. I can't stand people. I think they use each other, cause way too much grief, and it's not worth the trouble. But had a nice Halloween meetup that ended up being a date. That wasn't supposed to be a date, but we ended up liking each other, and shit happened. And I just don't get attached anymore, and she moved back to Texas. Her remote access got pulled and went back. Well, she's come back. The only thing that scares me is she was looking for a place to live before she came back. And I don't know this person. There's no way I'm going to have somebody just live in my house that I don't know. So she found her own place, came back, and I thought, well, cool, you know, come back. You know where I work. Come hang out. Now, if I had just met somebody and hooked up with someone, I wouldn't expect to go to their work and get everything for free. But you'll never guess. That's kind of what happened. Oof. Yeah, she showed up one night, and I gave her a drink, and then she saw I was drinking behind the bar, and then she wanted to continue to drink. Motherfucker, move, dumbass! Jesus Christ, man, get the fuck out of the way! Guy's like sitting here in the turn lane, acting like a retard, not moving, holding up traffic, and then halfway in the go lane, and halfway in the turn lane, and he's not fucking moving. Jesus. She comes the first night, and I get her a drink, and it was super busy. I didn't have time to schmooze and talk. And then she wants a refill, and I'm like, okay, kind of annoying, but, you know, just because you know me doesn't mean you get preference over everyone else. So I gave her the hang on a second finger. And then she kind of got irritated and went back. I found her like an hour later and, you know, gave her a drink when I had an opportunity. And then once she saw that someone had bought me shots behind the bar, she's like, well, I want one. So I made her one. And then, of course, it was one of those she had to tell me how she made it. And it's a specialty one, which, you know, those always take 30 seconds longer than someone else that just wants a beer. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, she wants another one. And then she wants another one. Like, I can drink all night, but the thing is you know you're not paying for any of this. And now you're up to 7 free drinks in a bar. That's a little suspect. I won't say sus like the kids these days do, because they're fucking stupid, and I hate that word. But shows up the next night. Give her a hug, same thing. How's it going? Give her her first drink, and that's how it should go. If you know a bartender, or you know a musician, or a bouncer, and they do you the courtesy of giving you a drink, or doing a drink with you, they're being nice. They're welcoming you there so that you come back. That privilege is quickly revoked if you don't tip, buy them a drink, or return the favor. And I'm sorry, pussy is not returning the favor. So, it's like Valentine's Day. You get all this cool shit as a female. And the guys, they get maybe a blowjob. If they're lucky, that's like 1% of the guys out there. Generally, the women will just succeed and allow you to have sex with them, is how that works. That's irritating as fuck. Bitch, maybe I wanted a box of chocolates and a teddy bear. Or something thoughtful. Or, I don't know, tattoo my name on your butthole. Anyway, that's why I didn't date. And this is exactly why. So she comes back to town. And I've been flirting with several women since October. And haven't really pursued any of these options. But now it's like, well, I don't want to pursue this one because she thinks pussy is paying for her drinks. Which is funny because she's trying to get some, and I feel like she gets more out of it than I did. Because I tell you, when we finally banged that first and only time, which was the second time I had met her at the bar once, she was making out with some other dude. We weren't interested in each other. I started talking to her afterwards. And then we met up because she had free tickets to a concert. And then I was bored, she was bored, neither wanted to go home, started making out, and shit happens. That seems to be her MO. But she, I don't know. It seems like she's a taker, and she doesn't give anything back. Because after we finished, she's like, damn, I'm hungry. Gets up, makes a ham sandwich, comes back in, throws a dildo at me, and she's like, let's go again. What? Yeah, I'm ready to go again. And I know you're not. Well, yeah, I know. I just, like, sweated it out, porking it up here. And now you're ready to go again 10 minutes later after you had a sandwich. I mean, she did offer me a sandwich, but I don't like ham, so whatever. And then I had to bang it out on a fucking Trident dildo. So it seemed more work to me than pleasure. So the idea of going home with her for the drinks that she hasn't tipped or paid for isn't really that appealing. And she's like, well, what are you doing in your off time? I'm like, I know you're just kind of trying to schmooze so that you find someone to either date before Valentine's Day or your birthday or find a place to live by April. I'm sorry. I've done that. I've met people, fallen in love, tried to be Captain Save-A-Ho, and a month later we all end up trying to live together, and then 3 weeks later they leave me after they found something better or a situation on their own because they just wanted to sow their wild oats kind of shit. Like, it's fucking irritating. I hate people. This is exactly why I hate people and don't want to be in a relationship. So, whatever. It's fucking stupid. I just think it's funny that I have all these options now. Oh, and they were taking pictures. Like, three of the women that are talking to me and trying to flirt, we're all taking pictures together. Like, oh, these are all my besties. I'm like, little do you know, you've all propositioned me. I should just kiss the other one in front of the other two and see what happens. Plus the three waitresses that flirt, too. So it's like, whatever. It is what it is. I hate people. So, as I'm going through an unnecessary school zone and attempting to find my thrift shop that I usually go to from the back areas and the back streets, Royal Rumble. I actually had a podcast going over Royal Rumble memories, and I deleted it because I didn't finish it, forgot about it, and whatever, so, you know, it is what it is. I watched the first, I did watch a Pandemic Arena TV screen episode of Raw, and just to see how ridiculous it was, and that's just, it was sad, the whole thing was sad. How can you have a supposed combat sport where people touch each other when you're supposed to social distance? I mean, there was one indie match I saw where they actually did it right and did a social distance match, which was hilarious because we haven't had comedy in wrestling since Joey Ryan got canceled. And I still like Joey Ryan, and fuck you if you canceled him just because some bitch finagled her way into his locker room and he was a slutty character. Imagine that. A guy who has you grab his dick in the ring turns out to be a slut in real life. Man, didn't see that coming. Anyway, it wasn't a bad Rumble, but they started off with the men's Rumble, which was always the headliner before, but now all of a sudden it's the opening act, which is fine with me because that's all I really wanted to see. I just don't know anybody. By the time it got to people that I like or actual, I mean, I don't understand Gunther. I think that's the dumbest thing ever. It seems to me like anybody could kick his ass. He looks like the big-headed British dude that we all fucking hate. Sheamus is cool. Drew, what's his name? McIntyre. He seemed cool. I'd be excited for Omos, but he doesn't have any sense of ring awareness or a costume or a gimmick or anything. He's just, hi, I'm a big Nigerian black guy. He's about as useless as El Gigante was until he turned into Giant Gonzalez. Like, we're over the gimmick of tall people, unless they are something. I mean, Braun Strowman still carries the monster gimmick, and it works for him. And this dude towers over him, and he still fucking gets him out. Brock Lesnar's cool. He did a good job, but they paired him up with the only person that could probably best him in a match, and Bobby Lashley, and that sort of ended. So it just, the storylines weren't there. It wasn't really fun, and then we all knew Cody was going to win. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Cody's head. Trash talks Triple H, trash talks WWE, doesn't want to be a part of that world anymore and starts AEW. He was the only person in all of AEW when they did their kind of intro announcement thing here in Vegas at the MGM Garden Arena. He was the only one that wouldn't talk to people. Kenny Omega was a bigger star at the time, and he stopped and signed autographs and took pictures with me. And everybody else that was there did the same thing. You know, Penta, Ray, what the fuck's that guy's name? Oh, that looks like Rey Mysterio, but it's not. Phoenix. There it is. Rey, well, I was right. It's Rey Phoenix, isn't it? I don't know. I can't keep them straight. It's Pentagon Jr., Penta El Rey, Penta Zero LM, Pentagram. I don't know what the fuck the guy's name is anymore. Anyway, every one of them, from the top stars, Kenny Omega, all the way down to Sonny Kiss and the Trent and Best Friends, whatever the fuck they call themselves, they all signed autographs. Cody was kind of an arrogant prick. Even Tony Khan was talking to people and taking pictures and taking autographs and stuff. I didn't know who he was at the time, or I would have got an autograph. But anyway, Cody walks out of the back, sees us all standing there. Sorry, guys, I don't have time right now. I got to get up there for a meeting. All right, Thuffer and Thuckatash, I'm sorry. You were so fucking busy that you can't deal with your fans. And then we find out he just went upstairs to go sit in the box and watch a show. I get you want time off, but at the time he wasn't wrestling. He had been done with Japan. The paperwork was done, but Kenny Omega had time. Oh, and Frank Kazarian was sitting there trying to get cocaine from me and everyone else and trying to party his ass off here in Vegas. So, you know, whatever. It's not that I don't like Cody. I just don't understand why that's the top draw. I never did. Even in, I think he was the worst member of the Bullet Club. You can't ride the coattails of your dad and then tell everybody that you're just doing it to be your own person when all you're doing is riding the coattails of your dad. Actually, he's probably even riding the coattails of his brother at this point. But, you know, it is what it is. So, Royal Rumble used to be a fun moment, and they would do this thing every time back in the golden era where they would set up the next big feud by having a Saturday night's main event, and then somehow the two top people would be in a tag team match, and then something would happen, they'd bump into each other the wrong way, and then next thing you know, they're arguing, one leaves, and then that's how they lose, and blah, 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 and you know, we've seen it with Mega Powers, we saw it with Hogan and Warrior, we saw Hogan and Sid. I mean, that seemed to be the exact same story every time. And then Hogan would piss someone off, their partner would fight him and, you know, cause a big stir, leave him hanging, and that's the only way he could lose the match or still win, and they couldn't figure out how he won in a handicap situation. And then Royal Rumble comes, and those two, whoever it would be, end up bumping into each other, and then we find out, oh, so this is what the main event of WrestleMania is going to be. And I just don't see those setups anymore. Yes, the person at the end of Rumbles now gets to point at the sign and be the next challenger, which is dumb because there ain't no way in hell Cody Rhodes could beat Roman Reigns on his best day, in a real fight, a fake fight, a story fight, or any kind of fight. There's no fucking way. Roman Reigns has been champion for, like, what, 3 years now? There's no way they're going to let him drop the belt to a guy that tried to destroy the company by starting another company. But, hey, you know what? If that's what the people want, apparently they're just doing whatever the people want these days. And wrestling these days, it makes me sick. I'm talking to my buddy about this, and they don't do setup for storylines. Not only that, they actually pretend like you're stupid. I mean, they come up with theme songs that you can hum to because they realize fans want to sing the theme songs now. I mean, I'm sorry, Fandango started that, but now they act like Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, and now Seth Rollins. I mean, Shinsuke was the last one people started humming to because he had a cool theme. But now, oh, everybody's got to do that. Everybody's got to have that theme song. It's just, they're pandering to the same tropes over and over and over again. And it's getting irritating. And then people have the dumbest catchphrases. LA Knight, whoever the fuck that is. Yep. Yeah. That is, God, they just want something repeatable in a catchphrase. And they're trying too hard. Believe that. Remember that? So anyway, yeah. Back in the day, things were a little more organic with catchphrases and gimmicks and things people would do. I mean, do you think Hulk Hogan sat in the back forever trying to come up with something to say? Who are you going to call, brother? No. What? Where are you going to go, brother? No. What you going to say, brother? No. What you going to do, brother? Yeah, there it is. I don't think he practiced it. I think it was just something that he said that caught on. And Macho Man, he would just end every sentence with, oh yeah. And then up to the Attitude Era, you had, you know, The Rock and the Stone Cold catchphrases, and Triple H never really had one. I actually kind of thought it was dumb that they called him The Game. It never really made sense to me. The Jim Ross things caught on more. I liked Cerebral Assassin. I thought that was way better for Triple H, but you know, they gotta have their t-shirt worthy stuff. And then all of a sudden, the indie crowd really ruined it for wrestling. They decided they wanted this skinny, flippy dippy, jungle monkey, kick pad, thigh slapping shit. And it makes me wonder if X-Pac was all that special to begin with. Because he was the kind of the first one that we saw. I mean, there was light heavyweights. There was Jushin Thunder Liger. There was Japanese wrestling. There was all those types. But he was one of the first American wrestlers that we saw that was doing some real ninja moves. I mean, beforehand, remember the High Flyers were Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, and Snuka. And Snuka was a goddamn bodybuilder. Can you imagine anybody making the moves that Snuka did at the size he was doing that now? There's no way. And then Vader doing the exact same moves or better. I mean, you used to have wrestlers were a spectacle. They were something that you would see them and not go like, oh, this is a rich influencer, or this is somebody I want to be when I grow up with. In fact, I just said it. I think that's what today is with wrestling. They just want influencers. Someone that's going to get you to want to wear that hairstyle and buy those t-shirts and those action figures. And it just, it's out of control. It's just not fun anymore. And the thing with the finishing moves really gets me. You know, my buddy's telling me and has a great point. He's saying, everybody does a DDT and it's a setup for something else. So the DDT used to be the finisher. You knew if somebody hit a particular move that that was it. But then again, we were limited back in the day. The big guys had power bombs. The medium guys had pile drivers. The ring generals and the, you know, mat wrestler types had submission moves. But they each had their own. In fact, you know, everyone was talking about everyone had their own move and did their own thing. I always thought it was weird because Bret Hart was the pile drive guy. He was known as a pile drive guy. And then all of a sudden he comes out and now, besides the side Russian leg sweep, the Scorpion Deathlock is his move. And it's a sharpshooter. And he's one of the ones that bitches that there's no originality in wrestling. Bitch, you stole that from Sting. And Sting stole that from someone in Japan. And they stole it from someone else. Like, it's... And now, the DDT is a setup for an Alabama Karana or a Enziguri Suicide. I mean, it's just, we're not impressed by things anymore. The very first time you saw a chair shot, you were like, whoa. And then when somebody took 15 of them in one match, we're like, he's dead. But then you get desensitized to it and you want something else. And then see Shane McMahon doing all these things and pulling off the moves that Mick Foley did, jumping off cages. Now that's not special anymore. I mean, it's just, they haven't made it special at all for any of this stuff anymore. And it just sucks because wrestling used to be something fun. It used to be something that you could watch and enjoy and marvel. It was a circus act and it turned into Cirque du Soleil, which is stupid. But anyway, back to Rumble and Rumble memories. Fucking cop pulling people over in the school zones. So ridiculous. And then he's going to block the fucking traffic and make more of a hazard than the person going 30 into 25. It's so dumb. God. You know, I know we're not impressed by eye rakes, back rakes, and running your forehead across the top rope anymore. But I think, honestly, if somebody did that, it would probably catch on. And they'd start doing that again. And I kind of blame The Rock, honestly, because the people's elbow was probably one of the dumbest things I'd ever seen. And as soon as he did it, it was just an elbow drop. In fact, I've seen more brutal elbow drops from Animal or Hawk than I have from The Rock. And the whole, I mean, you know what's going to happen. If it loses believability and you know that it's entertainment when somebody crisscrosses over you three times. I mean, same thing with Earthquake's butt bomb. Like, I knew that was coming and I'm screaming at the TV when I'm a kid, like, move. And then when he hits it, you're like, oh God, it's done. There is no way. No getting up from that. Because you believed that he cracked ribs. Can you imagine somebody 480 pounds now doing a drop kick? I mean, they made Braun Strowman slim down. He's probably like 280 now when he was like 350 or something. That's all right, but now he's so slim and trim, he's like an inch taller than Randy Orton. When he was a big dude, he was impressive. Now it looks like he's just normal-sized guy. And if his strength is still there, that's fine. But then you have guys like Otis that are bigger than Bam Bam and King Kong Bundy combined. Maybe shorter. And they don't do anything with him. He had his run. He was popular for like 3 months, I guess. And now he's forgotten. And they have him. I mean, oh, that's another catch. Shush, what the fuck is that? First of all, that's from Encino Man and Wayne's World, so that is a 90s thing where the jock and the asshole would go, shoosh. And now they're trying to just, wrestlers try and just repeat things to get you to repeat them so that they could get the 90s pop that The Rock and Stone Cold and all these people did. It's annoying. I'm sorry that people are behind wrestling now and like people like L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight would have been a jobber back in the day. And he wrestled in the indies and the lucha circuit as Hio del Trump or something like that. He was supposed to be Trump's illegitimate son and he wrestled like that. And then he became Nick Aldis and I don't know. It's no believability there. Nothing about that screams, oh my God. And then same thing with the horror gimmicks. You know, you believed Undertaker was legit otherworldly. And The Fiend and Bray Wyatt did really good for a while, but now it's kind of like, it loses the luster when you see him in a press conference without the mask talking in his normal voice. Yeah, the scary gimmicks just don't work anymore. Now that kayfabe is dead. I mean, I even believe the boogeyman. I still don't even know what he looks like because he would wear a mask when he goes in and out of airports. And I feel like that's the way to do it. You know, they were comic characters. They were superheroes. They were gods and monsters and giants and big men and farmers. And they all had a gimmick. Now it's like, here's fucking Jake Williams. Yay. Jake Williams wears kick pads. His finisher is the spin around, sit down, flying butt burrito power bomb off the top of the sky dome. But you're gonna see 50 DDTs, 300 super kicks, 20 chair shots, a pile driver, and pull a chimpanzee out of his ass with a crotch shot before he hits it. That's how you know the setup. He's not gonna wave his arm in the sky and turn it around and do a short arm clothesline as a setup for the DDT. He's not even going to do a gorilla press into a off the rope splash. No. He's going to lead up with every known finisher to wrestlingdom before he hits his own. It's just not believable or fun anymore. I will say, even though I'm not a big Roman fan, the Bloodline is probably, and I hate the way they talk and that whole like gangsta oofs bullshit, but that whole storyline was pretty good from what I understand, because I see people talk about it and I see little, you know, clips and stuff on Twitter when I'm rolling through whatnot. And the one Raw and the Royal Rumble that I watched, it seemed like it was a really good storyline. And it was sort of sickening the way they ended it with that. And you actually thought that Kevin Owens was legit injured. And it's believable because he takes some horrendous bumps. Those fat body guys like Mick Foley and, you know, Kevin Owens, things like that, they really, really put their body on the line and do some crazy shit. But that match even was a more traditional match. I enjoyed it because it was move for move. Yes, they did kick out and did the whole, you know, hot count two, kicked out at two. I mean, again, finishers aren't believable. When Goldberg hit a spear, if you got up from the spear, he was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? Hit you with the jackhammer and you're done. And I don't think anyone ever kicked out of the jackhammer. But can you imagine Goldberg having to hit three jackhammers on somebody, 10 spears, and then hit a side savate kick before pinning the guy? Like, it's just ridiculous. The old Warrior Rumbles seem to have more of a storyline, and every character was somebody. And it was also a huge roster where they could have enough people for three or four matches before the main event and then still have probably 15 B-listers and 5 A-listers in the Rumble itself, to where you legit weren't sure if this was going to be Barbarian's year, because he always seemed to be towards the end there, or if there would be an upset. And oh no, Hogan got it again. You know, that's just, well, I had my complaints back then. We all did. But I feel like the sports cards collector fans have ruined wrestling. And the football type fans have ruined wrestling, because now they've taken it over. They want to be seen on TV. They want to overreact just so that they can get into a replay clip. They want to capitalize on that. I mean, and you're talking to a guy who makes his living off of bootleg toys and wrestling fandom. but I have talent and I'm producing something that people want. I'm not making an O face every time I think that's the end of the match and then clasp my hair in disbelief when they kick out at two. Oh my God, did I make it? Oh no, I didn't make it on the final cut. Okay, never mind. I mean, it's these people are so ridiculous now, and they feel that they are the show, which is just dumb to me. I'm not watching these things so I can watch the fans. Stop. And you know what else? These fucking camera cuts. Why did they start doing that? My God, like, you don't need these zoom in, zoom out camera cuts. I mean, that's what a 5-year-old would do if he had a camera. Whoa, get super close, back off. Whoa, super close and back off. Just stop. Like, I legit get seasick and motion sickness from watching that. And then they do it so that you can't see the fuck-ups. But then they replay it, and they're like, oh, my God, here it comes, here it comes. Speed it up, Professor, you can't see what actually happened. Oh, my God, did you see that? No, I did not. In fact, nobody did. That's why you're replaying it. But you're still not going to let us look at it. I mean, get a hard cam out front the way it used to be. And then the one guy at the side and one guy at the entrance. Not this, let's run around in a Blair Witch Project kind of filming scenario. It's just annoying. Everything about it irked me. Everything. And then the people you would think would win don't win. I get that the big guys can't always win. But even the Rey Mysterio storylines were good. When the Giant was champion and Rey Mysterio would fight him, it was a David and Goliath. But nobody knows those stories anymore. They're only interested in who's got the biggest social media following. That's how you get your push. And in fact, that Logan Paul, I guess, isn't even a wrestler. I didn't even know anything about him. And someone told me he was just a social media influencer that made it so big. Has a $1 million Pokemon card or some bullshit like that. And all of a sudden he became a wrestler. And it's weird because he's actually better than most of the wrestlers. So I'd rather see him, but can you call him something else? Can you give him a gimmick? I mean, God, anything. I don't know. It's just not the same. And I'm not old man, you know, yelling at the sky. It just legit is not good. And if you just got into wrestling 10 years ago, I'm sorry. Go back and watch Monday Night Raw in 96 and 97 and tell me that you're watching a better product right now. Please. I dare you. I heard they were doing better. I heard it, the last 2 or 3 years were really terrible. And that this is the best WWE has been in a while, which they've done that. We suffered through 93, 94, and 95 WWF to get to the Attitude Era. We suffered through the debut of Orton, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena to get to the PC era. And now we're suffering with these tiny-ass kids where they can finally swear again. I don't know, I heard them say bitch a few times. I guess that's pretty cool. We're allowed to say bitch now. I don't know. You know, and I really do believe the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, really ruins it for everybody because Twitter is so funny. You're watching it, these tweets come out. Oh my God, it's World War III. Oh no, that didn't happen. Oh, they're firing all the employees. What? Elon Musk took over Twitter. Oh, Twitter's getting shut down. What? Only 20 people are running Twitter. Oh, all right, follow me on Instagram because Twitter's getting shut down. Oh no. Oh, they're canceling everybody. Oh no. Wait, I mean, shut the fuck up. Seriously. You get one win, and these people think they know everything, and they think they're going to get catered to all the time now. And that's just, that's not going to happen. You know, I've been rambling for a while because I am fucking lost in my own goddamn neighborhood. The traffic was so bad that I took some side streets, and apparently street names with the same name don't interconnect, and they keep taking me in a roundabout circle around this goddamn reservoir. Oh, fucking people. And of course, you know, I'm an asshole, and I skipped all of the women's matches. I think there was a women's title match, skipped it. I think there was a rock music band, skip it. And then the Royal Rumble for women, skip that shit. That's not even worth watching because literally every crotch shot that you would see or would want to see aren't from women that like dick anyway. So it's kind of like just looking at dude crotch shots. Remember when Braun Strowman used to nipple slip all the time? Fucking like, that was a scary time in wrestling. But anyway, yeah, just not the same. It wasn't anything that made me want to watch wrestling again. I will probably subscribe, or I'm sorry, since I get a free subscription to Peacock, I will probably watch WrestleMania, but I'm certainly not watching Raw and SmackDown and the lead up and all that. I mean, even during the Attitude Era, I got super sick of seeing The Rock, Stone Cold, Undertaker, and Triple H every single week. It was some variation of the four of them every single week. You couldn't get away from them. It was so bad. So, I don't know if they're even doing that now, but it just doesn't seem watchable, like it's something I need to see or what happens next. And what happened to the Good Brothers and AJ Styles? I think one of the last things I had seen was, oh man, the OC is back. How cool is that? The original Bullet Club. And then what happened to that storyline? Where did they go? Oh, the internet thought we were selling to Saudi Arabia too. Remember that? Oh, dang, we thought AEW was going to pull a WCW in reverse and buy WWE. What was... You don't know. It's okay to say that you don't know and that you can't predict what's going to happen and just sit back and enjoy what's happening. It's really okay. I promise. But then again, there is no surprise in this world anymore, and you can't just enjoy things. You have to know whose contract is up, who's signing who. I mean, I watched a little bit of that press conference, and it was hysterical because even Cody is like, yes, I know who Sean Ross Sapp is. Yes, I know who Keith Elliott Greenberg is. My God, I know every one of you people in this building because we can't get away from you because you wrestling journalists tell us what our job is. Oh, why didn't The Rock come back at the Rumble? Well, you told me he wasn't in shape, right? I mean, we're the ones running the company. They even are trying to poke fun at the fact that the internet doesn't know the inner workings of the WWE. And if something does get leaked to see a reaction, they're most likely going to change it. It's like the old paradox situation where if you look into the future is going to change because you looked into it. So calm the fuck down is the best advice I can give the internet community. And it's never going to happen, which is why I don't watch it anymore. It's just not fun. So my suggestion is come up with a cinematic wrestling show. Something like what Lucha Underground was doing there for a while. That was entertaining. I really liked that. And I would wish something like that could happen again, but it doesn't look like it. So it is what it is. Anywho, I'm going to let you go. I've rambled on and complained enough as it is. Life is weird, wrestling's weird, entertainment's just crazy. I didn't find much thrifting. I had been shopping and going out a few places today. I found an Outlaws record. I found Hollow Man and Young Indiana Jones on VHS. I found a 1960s How to Draw Perspective guidebook. And that's about it. So now I'm going to meet up with Mom for a dinner and see her new car because she got a job, which is nice to get her out of the house, give her something to do. And hopefully that works out for her. So it is what it is. Stay safe and sane, because I am clearly neither.